This is Morning Edition on Vermont Public Radio. I'm Mitch Wertley of Good Morning. Last week, VPR reported on a recent downturn in commodity prices that has some waste district managers scrambling to make ends meet to comply with Vermont's universal recycling law. It is true that some of the state's recycling districts, including Windham's Solid Waste District in Brattleboro, are struggling to increase capacity at a time when the amount of money they receive for recycled material is dwindling. But our story drew a response from officials with the Chittenden Solid Waste District, because they say planning for exactly this kind of circumstance has left them in a much better position. Well, joining us now on the line to explain is Tom Moreau, General Manager of the Chittenden Solid Waste District. And Tom, thanks very much for speaking with us.
You're welcome. Good morning.
Now, recycling has been mandatory for Chittenden County since 1993, way ahead of the game here with the new universal recycling law. Given, though, that prices for recycled materials are pretty volatile, how has your district handled periodic pricing downturns for recycled materials like the one we're in now?
Well, Mitch, the formula goes something like this. The cost to process recyclables, to take them in at a factory, prepare them, and ship them off the market is pretty constant. So right now it costs CSWD about $58 a ton to process materials, and it does not go up wildly, usually just with energy costs, mostly for transportation. So we know what our costs are going to be beforehand. And then it really depends on what do you think commodity prices are. So we have two sources of revenue to offset that one cost. Other times we take a very large hit when a local factory goes out. We had been shipping paper to Brumptonville, Quebec for 20 years. And that factory just literally closed, gave us a month's notice, and that same paper that used to go 80 miles north to us in Quebec now have to be sent to Staten Island, put on a boat, and shipped across the Suez Canal and into China.
That's a lot farther to get down to Staten Island, for sure.
Absolutely, and a lot more cost. So with that, what we've always said is, if it costs us $58 to process material, and we get more than that in the sale of recyclables, then there's no tip fee. However, knowing that commodity prices move all over the place, and there's always this law of averages, that you should probably have a tip fee. So when Act 148 was passed in 2012, the commodity markets were very high. We were getting $120, $130 a ton. Consequently, we were paying folks to come through the door, not charging them, but paying them to come through the door. We also set some money aside in a contingency. So when prices since 2012 have dropped, mostly because of energy and the slowdown in the global economy, then we've had to increase our tip fee. Well, now it's $21 a ton. Far, far less than that same material, if it went to a landfill, would cost you somewhere between $100 and $130 a ton. We just plan for those kind of commodity prices and knowing full well that they're going to occur and never, ever depend on the recycling to run our other programs.
It sounds like what you guys were doing really was setting aside like a rainy day fund in a way.
Exactly. So I think there's two things here, Mitch. One is I think some of the smaller districts, such as the Northeast Kingdom, as well as Windham, may have to start looking to bigger neighbors to consolidate, get an economy of scale that works for them. Let me give you a perfect example. The week before your article aired, a friend of mine sent me a notice from the Brattleboro Reformer saying that Windham Solid Waste District had to stop taking 3 through 7 plastics, as well as the Northeast Kingdom did it a few months before that. Well, in Chittenden, we have a market for 3 through 7 plastics that is actually increasing. We're getting $330 a ton the last couple months for that material, and yet they have no markets whatsoever. So part of it's an economy of scale. All the solid waste districts, including Windham, including the Northeast Kingdom, as well as Chittenden, have the ability to tax trash as well. So our advice is, A, consolidate so where you can get to a bigger market, because 3 through 7 plastics will bring you some value, and you're doing the primary reason what we want recycling.
Okay, but you're saying taxing those like 3 through 7 plastics you're talking about may be an easier sell in a place like Chittenden County than the Northeast Kingdom or even Brattleboro, where folks may be struggling a bit more. They may not be able to pay that tax.
That's a consideration, and therefore I think what we're seeing is, just as the original Act 78 way back in the late 1980s started to try to consolidate individual towns into countywide type of regions, we may need to start building those solid waste entities into even larger ones, so we do have that economy of scale.
It's sounding a little bit like the school consolidation argument in a way.
Well,
I mean,
you know,
it's
what?
Not exactly the same, but
virtually no difference. You're absolutely right. And, you know, there's nothing other than that's the economy of scale. And I think the public really needs to take a very hard look. Is there a benefit to recycling? I think that answer is a resounding yes.
Tom, maybe there's something you can help me out with here, because I've been struggling to understand this. The state's mandatory recycling and composting law that was passed in 2012, it doesn't require waste management groups to provide facilities or pick up for recycling. How are many towns and counties working to meet new requirements?
Well, Mitch, that's a really tough question, because when Act 148 was passed, you know, it came with no funding. In two subsequent studies that the state of Vermont has authorized, one was they paid a private consultant what would it cost us to implement 148. And the second one was they did a request for proposals. You know, what would you need if we to implement 148 if there were grant money or loans available? Both times the total amount came to between $42 and $45 million. That's going to come out of the pockets of Vermonters in order to implement this law. Some of it's already being done, such as in Chittenden or by the private sector. Some of it isn't. They must keep the material separate, but they don't have to build the facilities. So if I'm in rural Vermont and I have to keep food waste separate come 2017, then I'm allowed to charge the customer for that food waste and then finding a facility to bring it to. I'm not obligated to build that facility. It really expects that someone is going to step up, either the public sector or the private sector, to build some of these facilities.
Ultimately, Tom, if you had to give us a succinct picture of, you know, what would Vermont look like without a mandatory recycling law, what would the problems be?
I think it's so subtle it would be hard to identify. A lot of it comes down to resource management. There's only so much aluminum in this world. To extract that aluminum, to mine it, the bauxite, hit it with sulfuric acid and making it, takes a lot of energy. Anytime you can then recycle, it's just more efficient. So you're really asking me, how does an inefficient world work? Well, it costs more. You deplete resources. It's adding to climate change. It's adding to an inefficient system. So if you don't have that, you're just adding to the other side of the equation, making things, quote, worse. As Emerson said, it's not where you are, it's what direction you're heading in. And are you heading towards a more sustainable system? We think recycling is.
Tom Moreau is the general manager for the Chittenden Solid Waste District. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you, Mitch. Have a good day.